I was in the fifth grade the first time I thought about turning 30. My best friend Darcy and I came across a perpetual calendar in the back of the phone book, where you could look up any date in the future, and by using this little grid, determine what the day of the week would be. So we located our birthdays in the following year, mine in May, and hers in September. I got Wednesday, a school night. She got a Friday. A small victory, but typical. Darcy was always the lucky one. Her skin tanned more quickly, her hair feathered more easily, and she didn't need braces. Her moonwalk was superior, as were her cartwheels and her front handsprings. I couldn't do a handspring at all. She had a better sticker collection, more Michael Jackson pins. Forenza sweaters in turquoise, red, and peach. My mother allowed me none, said they were too trendy and expensive. And a pair of $50 Guess jeans with zippers at the ankles. Ditto. Darcy had double-pierced ears and a sibling. Even if it was just a brother, it was better than being an only child, as I was. But at least I was a few months older, and she would never quite catch up. That's when I decided to check out my 30th birthday, in a year so far away that it sounded like science fiction. It fell on a Sunday, which meant that my dashing husband and I would secure a responsible babysitter for our two, possibly three, children on that Saturday evening, dine at a fancy French restaurant with cloth napkins, and stay out past midnight, so technically we could be celebrating on my actual birthday. I would have just won a big case, somehow proven that an innocent man didn't do it, and my husband would toast me to Rachel, my beautiful wife, the mother of my children, and the finest lawyer in Indy. I shared my fantasy with Darcy as we discovered that her 30th birthday fell on a Monday. Bummer for her. I watched her purse her lips as she processed this information. "You know, Rachel, who cares what day of the week we turn 30?" she said, shrugging a smooth olive shoulder. "We'll be old by then. Birthdays don't matter when you get that old." I thought of my parents, who were in their 30s, and their lackluster approach to their own birthdays. My dad had just given my mom a toaster for her birthday because ours broke the week before. The new one toasted four slices at a time instead of just two. It wasn't much of a gift, but my mom had seemed pleased enough with her new appliance. Nowhere did I detect the disappointment that I felt when my Christmas stash didn't quite meet expectations. So Darcy was probably right. Fun stuff like birthdays wouldn't matter as much by the time we reached 30. The next time I really thought about being 30 was our senior year in high school, when Darcy and I started watching the show 30-something together. It wasn't one of our favorites. We preferred cheerful sitcoms like Who's the Boss and Growing Pains, but we watched it anyway. My big problem with 30-something was the whiny characters and their depressing issues that they seemed to bring upon themselves. I remember thinking that they should grow up, suck it up, stop pondering the meaning of life and start making grocery lists. That was back when I thought my teenage years were dragging and my 20s would surely last forever. And then I reached my 20s. And the early 20s did seem to last forever. When I heard acquaintances a few years older lament the end of their youth, I felt smug, not yet in the danger zone myself. I had plenty of time. Until about age 27, when the days of being carded were long gone, and I began to marvel at the sudden acceleration of years, reminding myself of my mother's annual monologue as she pulled out our Christmas decorations, and the accompanying lines and stray gray hairs. At 29, the real dread set in, and I realized that in a lot of ways, I might as well be 30, but not quite, because I could still say that I was in my 20s. I still had something in common with college seniors. I realize 30 is just a number, that you're only as old as you feel and all of that. I also realize that in the grand scheme of things, 30 is still young. But it's not that young. It is past the most ripe prime childbearing years, for example. It is too old to, say, start training for an Olympic medal. Even in the best die-of-old-age scenario, you are still about one-third of the way to the finish line. So I can't help feeling uneasy as I perch on an overstuffed maroon couch in a dark lounge on the Upper West Side at my surprise birthday party organized by Darcy, who is still my best friend. Tomorrow is the Sunday that I first contemplated as a fifth grader playing with our phone book. After tonight, my 20s will be over. A chapter closed forever. The feeling I have reminds me of New Year's Eve, when the countdown is coming and I'm not quite sure whether to grab my camera or just live in the moment. Usually I grab the camera and later regret it when the picture doesn't turn out. Then I feel enormously let down and think to myself that the night would have been more fun if it didn't mean quite so much, if I weren't forced to analyze where I've been and where I'm going. Like New Year's Eve, tonight is an ending and a beginning. I don't like endings and beginnings. I would always prefer to churn about in the middle. The worst thing about this particular end of my youth and beginning of middle age is that for the first time in my life, I realize that I don't know where I'm going. My wants are simple: a job that I like and a guy whom I love. And on the eve of my 30th, I must face that I am zero for two.